Turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Thank you, Miss Jessica. Philippians chapter 4. I'm not going to be very long tonight. Pastor Schaefer, as I was walking in to pick up my children, looked at me with very sick eyes and said, "Are you going to be at church tonight?" I said, "Yes, I'll be at church." He said, "Can you preach?" I said, "Yes, I can. Any opportunity I get, I'll take." What I'll be preaching on tonight is going to be something that I've personally been studying in my devotions, and something that I believe is one of the hardest lessons that we are going to learn and not apply incorrectly. And I'll explain what I mean by this. I'll go ahead and read the verses, tell you the title of my message, and then go into a little bit of detail, backstory of what I'm talking about. And then we'll take a couple of points from these verses. And hopefully it's something that we can take and apply to our lives. Okay? Philippians chapter 4, verse number 10. "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction." Verse number 11. Now that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. The title is A Lesson in Being Content. A Lesson in Being Content. Let's pray. Dearly Father, Lord God, I thank you so much for all you've done for us. I thank you for this church. I thank you for the family that has gathered today here, Lord. You've brought a good group out today, Lord, and I know more could be here, but Lord, this is the group that you have here. Lord, I pray that we would open our hearts to your message, Lord, and I open our hearts to what you have for us. Lord, I pray that when it's all said and done, we learn to be content, but not overly content. I pray in all said and done, we give you all the honor and glory. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. There's many ways you look at the word content. For example, I deliver pizzas in a very interesting part of town in Phoenix, Arizona. I go into these places and I go to these houses and I look at different yards, okay? And I'm one of those guys, I like to look at the yards. I like to look at the landscape. My dad was really into that. And so I look at the landscape. And then I see two different types of houses. And I see a house that is perfectly mowed grass, where you get grass in Phoenix, Arizona. And I see a couple of ornaments, and I see the sidewalk is washed, and I see that they really have taken care of their house, and they're content. They're content because they've done a good work, and now they're content. They can enjoy what they've done. There's another house I go to where the light's flickering, and there are four or five broken cars in the driveway, and There's a cactus that's kind of grown out of control, and there's weeds, and there's a poor puppy in the middle of the weeds trying to find his way home, and all of these things is just a mess everywhere. And then a gentleman comes out and takes the pizza, and I hand him the pizza, and I'm thinking to myself, he's content too. He's content just with whatever he's got. Very content. He's like, yeah, if the weeds grow, or if the house gets a wreck, or if I have five cars broken in the driveway, I'm content. Whatever. It's right there. There's two sides to being content. And I think we need to be careful, because we'll mistake the lesson that Paul is giving us, where I am content whereas we are just being content as Christians. Paul, in earlier chapters, we see that Paul says, listen, Paul is no slouch. He said, I have been shipwrecked. I have been beaten. I died. And I went through all of this. I have been ridiculed. I've been mocked. I've had so many things go wrong in my life. And yet we see here, while he's in a dungeon, he's reading, he's saying, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I think if we look at the life of Paul, we'd find that he's one of the hardest working Christians that ever lived, ever lived. I was going to say in America, but in the world, he's ever lived. He's one of the hardest working Christians that has ever lived. And yet he says, I'm content. And yet so many times as Christians, we take that as, well, I've learned whatsoever state I am to be content, and we're just content with life. We're content to let whatever happens, happens. This is an encouraging message, bro, okay? I'm not trying to beat anybody up. I'm just trying to get you to see. There's two kinds of being content. There's the content that says, I've done a good job. I've mowed the grass. I've fixed the yard. I am pleased with my work, and I'm content with the work I've done. Then there's another side that says, the weeds are up, the cars are broken down, the light doesn't really work, but I'm content. There's two sides to being content. And the sad thing is many Christians have looked at this world and said, well, the world's awful, our government is corrupt, no one wants to hear about God's word, so I'm content. Instead of saying, I'm serving God in a ministry. I'm here when the doors are open. I'm reading God's word. I'm praying. I'm doing what God wants me to do. And I can truly say, no matter what has happened to me, I am content. That's what we're looking at. We're looking at two different Christians, okay? Two different areas. Now, side note here, does this mean that you need to be like the rich man and sell everything that you have and join the church, and that's it? No, that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about whatsoever state I am. Whatever the Lord has led you to do, whatever God has put you in, whether it's full-time Christian service or whether it's following a different career, whatsoever state I am, I have learned to be content. Now, the problem is, are we content because we've done a good job, or are we content because we're blaming the world? Just whatever happens, happens. Those are the two states I want to look at. And I've been pondering this now for 2 weeks and just been thinking about, what kind of a Christian am I? Am I a content Christian because really that what's the point? Or am I a content Christian because of the work that I am doing for the Lord Jesus Christ? And I look back and say, I'm content in whatsoever state I am. This week has been a very interesting week for my family and I. There's a law out there. It's called Murphy's Law. Everything that can happen will happen. Or how's the phrase go, Brother Brian? Anything that can go wrong will go wrong. Everything. And you start, I don't know, I'm one of those people that when things are going so well, I'm just looking for Murphy. You know, I'm looking around. When's that going to happen? Yeah, but everything's going great. Yeah, but something bad's about to happen. All right. It's just how it is. So this week, that kind of Murphy's Law kind of came to be. We had a car trouble, and we traveled from our house in Surprise, and we traveled to Phoenix, which is about middle of Phoenix, which is about a 35-minute trip for my wife to go to classes, and I travel about 35 minutes to go to work. And so we have to have two vehicles. My vehicle doesn't have air conditioning, but it has a window, and it goes down, and I'm okay with that. We're not talking about my car. My wife's car just started overheating. And so I did what any person that has no idea about mechanics does. I lifted up the hood and stared contently in detail. I looked down at that engine. I looked at it. I said, yep, it's an engine. I don't know anything about engines. So I started moving things around, and it overheated so much to the point she couldn't even drive it anymore. and I'm at the QT, and I literally touched a hose, and it broke apart. I'm like, great. And so mechanic looked at it, and he said, yeah, it's going to cost you about $400 to fix this part. And I'm thinking, $400? Give me some duct tape, and we're good. No, duct tape doesn't work. But I really did use duct tape. Pastor has a funny story about that. But I wrapped it in duct tape to try to get it home, and the liquid was eating through the duct tape. And so it was lasting about 2 feet, then it was stopped, 2 feet, then it was stopped. Finally, the car got so angry at my wife, it literally started knocking without us doing anything. It was like, da-da-da-da, like, stop moving me. I don't want to move. So we pushed it into a, yes, I literally got behind the car and pushed it into a Days Inn, and then I had to go to work. I went back to Farmers, and then I had to go to Domino's that night, and my wife was asking me, what are we going to do? And I had no answers. That's a wrong time to be content. Well, I'm content with whatever's going to happen. You know, if someone steals the car, I'm content. No, that's a bad time to be content. So I started praying. I started saying, Lord, I have no idea what to do about the car. I have no idea what is going on. And I've got to go to work. I'll be at work till about 2 o'clock in the morning. And Pastor Schaefer gave me a call. He said, okay, what do I need to fix your car? I said, prayer. And I have duct tape. He said, no, we're not going to use duct tape. And I said, all you need is a Phillips head screwdriver and that one hose part. He said, okay. So he looked at it. He grabbed the hose. The hose literally is crumbling in his hands. He goes to O'Reilly Auto Parts, buys a $2 hose. They sell them by the foot. $2 by the foot. Cut it down to size. He hooked it up. He put antifreeze in there, which cost $15 for the antifreeze. Put the antifreeze in the radiator. Put the antifreeze in the other place that was where it's supposed to go. And my car has driven perfectly. I did get a bill from him for $385, but he said, just put it on his tab. I'm just kidding. No, he didn't say that. But he fixed the car. I can tell you that right now. During this state of where everything was chaotic, it was hard to be content, right? You start thinking in your mind, well, if I had a better car, if I had another job, if I had more money, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then I started thinking back to my devotions about Philippians chapter 4. I've learned whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And as I was driving on one of my deliveries, that's when Pastor Schaefer called me. The lesson of being content is not a lesson that we want to learn. It's not. It's not. Nobody wants to be content in the hard times. Because that's where you learn the lessons. You learn the lessons through the fire. It's not fun, but you learn lessons through trials. You learn how to be content through the fire. You learn how to be content through the trials. What are some trials that people have faced that we learned that they were content to face those trials? Again, you've heard these your whole life. This isn't anybody new. Daniel faced lions. But he was willing to. Why? Because he knew God was going to take care of him. Whether he was going to go in there and die, whether he was going to go in there and live, he knew no matter what, God was going to take care of him. So he was content to face the trial. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were content to walk through the fire. They were willing to go through the fire. They didn't know what would happen. And we look back at this and we say, well, yeah, of course they knew what was going to happen. They didn't know what was going to happen. We saw the end of the story. They were living the story. And they were content to go through trials in God's name. David was willing to fight a giant. He didn't know what was going to happen. You've got to put your mind in there. You got to put your mind in where they're at. Because if you look through the Bible, you see people that were content with whatever outcome was going to happen. Daniel was content dying in the lion's den. David was content dying at the giant's hand. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were content to suffer for God's name. They were content. Why was that? Because they learned the lessons that God wanted them to learn, and they trusted God no matter the circumstances that came their way. We look at the end of the story because we've heard them as children, but we forget that those stories apply to us as adults. What trials are you facing? Are you facing lions? Lions could be unsaved coworkers. I'm facing that. Unsaved coworkers. Long commutes. Lions could be a government that has taken their eyes off of God. All of these things. These are lions. Are you facing giants? The giant of your daily devotions. The giant of a consistent prayer life. The giant of, and this is going to hit hard, consistent tithing life. These are giants we face. Why is that? Because they're obstacles that are in our way that God's not going to allow us to have the victory until we take the giants head on. Daily, before breakfast, I will have my Bible time. Before lunch, I will have my prayer time. When I get that paycheck, am I budgeting all of it, or am I budgeting all minus 10% plus tithe, plus missions? These are giants in our life. And I'm not saying they're easy. I'm saying they're giants that you're going to have to face. So there's giants. There's fire. The fire of... I got to be careful with this one. Maybe a marriage that is not on the same page. A marriage that is going through strife. Maybe the fire of a family members that aren't doing what is right. Maybe the fires of just personal despair. Whatever they are. These are things that people face on a daily basis. And I have to ask you, Christian, are you content? Have you done everything that you can do? Have you faced those giants head on? Have you faced the lions? Have you faced the fire? Are you facing them head on with God's help and coming out on the other side, maybe a little broken, maybe bruised, but saying, I am content because I'm doing what God wants me to do? Or are you on the other side saying, well, whatever happens, happens. I'm just content with it. I believe Paul did everything. I mean, if you look at Philippians, I love Philippians. Philippians is by far my favorite book. Because it's a, does anybody know the theme of the book? It's one word. Or joy. It's joy. Philippians is joy. And you read through that, you're like, that's great. Paul had joy. That's fantastic. Do you know where Philippians was written? In a dungeon. And we're not talking a dungeon like our standards dungeon. We're talking about a hole in the ground that was dark and dirty and disgusting. And who knows what was going on in his life with the guards. The guards were probably not very pleasant to him. And he had a table and a light. And he wrote the book on joy in that circumstance. Makes our lives and our situations feel a little less hopeless, right? Because I don't know about you, but I have not had to write anything in a dungeon. Okay? It's not a three-point message. It's not something that you're going to take home and you're going to say, wow, these are the 3 points, and they were alliterated, and they were all ABC. And it's not what that is. This is just my personal devotions of what God is teaching me, and I'm still learning. I have not been able to get away from this part of this book for 2 weeks now, and I don't know when it's going to be that I can move on. But when I think of what Paul went through in a dungeon, when I think about Daniel going through the lions, when I think about David going through the giant, when I think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego going through the fire, I can tell you this, Christian. You are going through your own giants, you're going through your own lions, and you're going through your own fire. And every one of us has our own personal struggles that we want to just keep to ourselves because we don't want anybody to know, and God knows that. Amen? But going through this trial, are you content because you're praying, you're reading your Bible, and you're trusting God? Or are you just content and whatever happens, happens, and there's nothing I can do about it. Paul was in a dungeon, and he was content because he wrote the book on joy, because he knew Christians like you and Christians like me will go through fires, dungeons, giants, and lions. He knew we were going to go through that, and God put in his heart to write this book in that situation so that you would see that no matter what state you are in, no matter which giant, no matter which lion, no matter which fire, you can learn, whatsoever state I am content because I'm doing exactly what God wants me to do. Go through your trials this week, because you have them. Go through your trials this week. But why not go through the trial this week saying with your head held high, I'm doing what God wants me to do, and I am content. Let's pray.